This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. Momentum appeared to be on the side of U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris on Monday as a groundswell of Democratic lawmakers, governors, and financial donors expressed their support for her to be the party's presidential nominee in the November election after U.S. President Joe Biden dropped out of the race on Sunday. AP correspondent Jennifer King reports.
Biden called Harris to inform her of his decision Sunday morning, and by the afternoon, his campaign had formally changed its name to Harris for President. The VP inherits Biden's political operation with more than 1,000 staffers and a multi-million dollar war chest. A person familiar with the matter says Harris spent much of Sunday surrounded by family and staff and made more than 100 calls to Democratic officials to line up their support. Reaching out to Democratic Party delegations from Florida to New Hampshire to the Carolinas, the Associated Press found many have already lined up behind Harris, while others plan to hold conference calls today. If Harris does lock up the nomination, she must also pick a running mate and boost her candidacy with just 2.5 months between the end of the Democratic convention in Chicago and Election Day. I'm Jennifer King.
U.S. President Joe Biden's decision to bow out of the 2024 presidential race has left a lot of uncertainty with U.S. allies overseas. Speaking to reporters ahead of the European Union foreign ministers meeting in Brussels on Monday, European Union foreign policy chief Josep Borrell acknowledged the uncertainties but said it was up to the U.S. voters to decide.
Well, the Americans have to decide who they want to be in the White House. And certainly, I'm sure it will be quite an important difference for the transatlantic relationship depending on who is there. But it is the U.S. citizens to decide. I don't want to interfere. I don't think it's our role to go and to tell the Americans what do they have to do.
The Israeli military has ordered the evacuation of part of a crowded area in Gaza that has been designated as a humanitarian zone. The military says the Hamas militants have embedded themselves in the area and civilians should evacuate. This is VOA News. A new report released Monday by the aid group Doctors Without Borders said civilians in Sudan have suffered horrendous levels of violence during more than a year of conflict between the army and a rival paramilitary force. And the report said physical and mental wounds of violence have been exacerbated by the collapse of the health system and the lack of an international humanitarian response. And a news briefing in Amman, Jordan, Doctors Without Borders, Netherlands General Director Vicky Hawkins provided statistics on the civilian casualty levels in the conflict.
Between the 15th of August until the 30th of April this year, the Al Nahr Hospital in Omdurman admitted a total of 6,776 war-wounded patients. This is on average 26 war-wounded per day. Half of these patients had gunshot wounds, 40% of them had shrapnel wounds, and 5% had been stabbed.
Doctors Without Borders is calling on the warring parties to cease attacks on residential areas and allow safe passage and protect infrastructure from further destruction. Africa's richest man, Nigerian industrialist Aliko Dangote, led a tour of his $20 billion refinery in Nigeria over the weekend. Reuters correspondent David Doyle reports.
Africa's richest man, Aliko Dangote, has said his refinery on the outskirts of Nigeria's Lagos will hit 550,000 barrels per day this year, around 85% of capacity. But that's against the backdrop of difficulties in securing domestic supplies of crude oil. The company has also clashed with Nigeria's upstream regulator, which said the sulfur content in the company's gas oil was well above the required limits of 200 parts per million. Dangote said at the weekend that though levels were higher when production started earlier this year, they had been reduced and would fall further. Nigeria is Africa's biggest crude producer, but has also been struggling with theft, pipeline vandalism, and low investment.
That's Reuters correspondent David Doyle reporting. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is en route to Washington Monday to make a speech before the U.S. Congress and meet with U.S. President Joe Biden. AP correspondent Charles Deledesma reports.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is headed to Washington, leaving behind a brutal war to make a politically precarious speech before a joint session of Congress. The departure comes at a time of great uncertainty following President Joe Biden's withdrawal from the presidential race, with efforts ongoing to bring about a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, rising concerns of the war spreading to Lebanon and Yemen, and the U.S. in the midst of a dizzying election campaign. Netanyahu's speech has the potential to cause disarray on both sides of the ocean. I'm Charles Deledesma.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.